This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
Good evening. Welcome to the People Speak Radio. This is your host this week, Rock Cash. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen in by phone calling 760-569-7676, then entering the access code 192919 pound when prompted. Or if you have a computer or smartphone, just go to bbsradio.com and navigate to station 2 and click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests, toll-free USA and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. This evening, our guest is Vincent Bugliosi, well-known for his historical trial of Charles Manson, also author of many books, Helter Skelter, Outrage, 4 Days in November, Shadow of Cain, and my favorite, The Prosecution of George W. Bush. And tonight, the book we will be discussing is Reclaiming History on the Kennedy Assassination. Vince, welcome to the show.
Happy to be on the show, Rock.
Thanks for joining us. Vince, can you give us a brief summary on your book, Reclaiming History?
Well, you know, as you've indicated, I've had several books, and whenever I talk about my books, I have a history of not boasting about them. All I do is tell the audience what the book's about, and that includes Helter Skelter, which is the biggest-selling true crime book in publishing history. In Cold Blood is number two, but when I was on for Helter Skelter, I just told the audience what the book was about. Outrage was, on the Simpson case, number one in the country. I didn't brag about it. Reclaiming History is a little different, Rock. I almost have to brag about it because I think I outdid myself. When you have 100 books, over 1,000 books on the subject of the Kennedy assassination, to have anyone say your book is the definitive book is close to being the ultimate compliment, but with Reclaiming History, many reviewers went beyond definitive book and simply said it's the final word on the assassination, meaning fold your tent, folks. There's nothing more to say. It had always been thought, Rock, that there would always be some doubt about the assassination, even by people like Dan Rather, the former anchor for CBS News. He believed, like the minority of people, but millions, that Oswald killed Kennedy and then he acted alone. But he'd always add, however, there's always going to be some doubt. And then Reclaiming History comes out, which I worked on for 20 years, and many reviewers say there is no doubt, there's nothing further to talk about, it's the final word on the assassination. So it sounds boastful, but it just happens to be an incredible book. I put the best of what I learned as a prosecutor and the best of what I learned as a true crime writer into this book. I can't do any better. It's extremely long, as you may or may not know. It's the equivalent, if you include the CD at the attached at the end, it's the equivalent of about 13 volumes of 400-page books. But the main text is 1,650 pages, way too long for an ordinary book, but I got sucked into the abyss and I couldn't get out. You know, there's a new book coming out every week on the assassination, almost all pro-conspiracy books, whether they're coming out here or in Hamburg, Germany, or whether there's a documentary coming out, and I started responding to all this. Normally, a publisher would say, you get over 700 or 800 pages, stop writing. This one didn't. But he finally did. It's at 1,650 pages. He said, Vince, we're going to press. If he hadn't done that, I'd probably be up to several thousand pages now. But I'm very proud of the book because it's the most important murder case in certainly American history and arguably world history, and again, arguably could have altered the course of American and therefore world history. And I've clearly, I think, written the book on the case.
Well, knowing you personally, I know your passion when you get into something, you like to get down to the nitty-gritty and dig up everything that you can possibly dig up. But with that being said, and after being stonewalled by Congress when you testified about why charges should be brought up against George W. Bush and his administration,
right?
How can you still believe that the government might not have tampered with the official reports or falsified evidence or anything of that nature to put it behind the burner and make it look like it was a sole killer, and knowing that Lee Harvey Oswald was killed right after it happened,
right?
It's more of a cover-up. So what's your take on that?
Well, it would have to be the biggest and most successful conspiracy in the history of mankind. And I don't know if you're aware, Rock, that I, quote, prosecuted, unquote, Lee Harvey Oswald in London in 1986. Jerry Spence, do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's the, I call him the cowboy lawyer from Wyoming. He had just been anointed the top trial lawyer in the country by 60 Minutes. In any event, we were in trial for 21 hours with the original Warren Commission witnesses, a regular judge, no script. And in doing research for that case, I found out that the allegations by the conspiracy theorists that the Warren Commission had covered up, et cetera, and the House Select Committee and everyone else covered up, I found out that they were guilty of these precise things, that it was they, not the Warren Commission, who deliberately distorted the official record. I told the jury in London, I was telling you about how massive this conspiracy would have to be. I said, I'll stipulate with you folks that three people can keep a secret, but I said, only if two are dead. And here, if we were to accept your premise, there'd be an incredibly high number of people who would have had to have been involved, and not one word has leaked out in 50 years. I should say not one credible word has leaked out. There's been all types of words. There's been even people who have confessed to killing Kennedy, but, obviously if you look at who they are, some of them weren't even in Dallas at the time of the assassination. What I could do, Rock, and I'm making this suggestion, it's your show, suggestion. I can probably summarize Oswald's guilt and the absence of a conspiracy probably 2 minutes for each, 2.5 minutes for each. If I were to just, let's say, someone asked me, what about the KGB? And I talked about the KGB. They'd come back and say, well, what about the CIA? And then I talk about the CIA. They say, well, yeah, but how about the mob? And it keeps going on and on and on. A military-industrial complex, right-wing, LBJ, Castro, et cetera. But let me, kind of as a starting point to the interview, if you'll let me see if I can kind of summarize the guilt against Oswald, why I believe he's guilty, and why I believe that there's no conspiracy. Do we have that kind of time?
We've got 49 minutes left.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Oswald's guilt first.
Okay.
I learned as a prosecutor, and actually you don't have to be a prosecutor, it's just common sense, that if a person is guilty of a crime, Rock, if they're innocent of a crime, chances are there's not going to be anything against them. But now and then, because of the nature of life, the vicissitudes of life and the unaccountability of things, there may be one thing, and now and then, in a rare situation, two or even three things that point towards this person's guilt, even though he's completely innocent. But with Oswald, Rock, everything, and as I say, I worked on this this book for 20 years, everything, your direct, your circumstantial evidence, your scientific evidence, everything pointed towards his guilt. In Reclaiming History, I set forth 53 separate examples of Oswald's guilt, and under the circumstances, it wouldn't even be humanly possible for Oswald to be innocent, at least not in the world in which we live. Only in a make-believe fantasy world can you have 53 pieces of evidence against you and still be innocent. Let me just go over a couple of those pieces of evidence with you. Oswald's rifle was a 6.5-millimeter Mannlicher Carcano rifle, and firearms tests showed that it was the murder weapon. So we know that the weapon that killed President Kennedy was owned and possessed by Lee Harvey Oswald. Number two, and I'm not going to go over all 53, I'm just going to give you four or five. After the shooting in Dealey Plaza, Oswald was the only worker at the book depository building who fled the building. 45 minutes later, he shot and killed Officer J.D. Tippett of the Dallas Police Department, who had stopped him on the street to question him. Half hour later, at the Texas Theater, he pulled his gun on the arresting officer to resist arrest. When he was interrogated over 12 hours during a three-day period over the assassination weekend, he told one, not just one lie after another, but one provable lie after another, all of which shows an unmistakable consciousness of guilt. So all I can tell you about the guilt, and then we can get into the conspiracy part of it, is that I'm satisfied not just beyond a reasonable doubt, but beyond all doubt of Oswald's guilt. Now, we can get into the conspiracy now, or you may want to ask me a question on what I just told you.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Richard Belzer's book. It's called The Hit List. I don't know if you've had time to read it. He points out a bunch of... let me look at the date on the book.
What year?
I believe it came out this year, okay. Not too long ago.
I'm not continuing to read on this stuff. I've gone on to other things like the prosecution of George Bush, but tell me what he said, the summary, and then I'll address
it. Well, the brief summary is he points out a lot of people that started disappearing and started being taken off of the list by firing squads. In other words, they were being killed.
Well, here's the thing. There's hundreds of allegations about these things, and it's remarkable that someone could write a book about something as old and completely discredited as that. And I guess their thought is the majority of Americans believe in a conspiracy. I'll put out these old things that have been talked about 1,000 times before, and many people won't know about it. There actually was a London Times article by an actuary many years ago that said that for the number of people who have ended up dead who had some knowledge of the Kennedy assassination, that percentage, if it had nothing to do with conspirators who killed them, would be about 100 trillion to one. And that's what he's talking about. The London Times, shortly thereafter, apologized profusely. They said that was an enormous actuarial error. They said that this is 100% wrong. What this fellow just did, many, many, many other people, conspiracy theorists, have done throughout the years. They've continued to print the first story from the London Times, not the story that corrected this error. But it has been shown by all types of people since then that the percentage of people dying out of a given number was no higher among those who had some association with the assassination than those who had no association with the assassination. This crazy theory even has people like Hoover and Chief Justice Earl Warren, people like that, being murdered. Of course, they were not murdered. What motive would there be anyway? These are people who said that there was no conspiracy, and if you're a conspiracy theorist, you like people like that that are saying that. You like them. You don't want to kill them. Virtually all of these people were only very peripherally, very tangentially involved in the assassination. They weren't involved in the assassination, but like someone may have been a striptease gal from Fort Worth, Texas, who at one time worked for a couple months for Jack Ruby, that type of thing. The House Select Committee on Assassinations, when they reinvestigated the assassination, they looked at all of these deaths. There was about 150 of them. And most of them were from natural causes. Some were accidental. There were some murders, but they concluded that they were completely unrelated to the assassination. But, you know, it takes a certain boldness for someone to make that allegation when it's been made hundreds and hundreds of times already. I wonder if he put in his book the retraction by the London Times. My guess, because I've been dealing with conspiracy theorists for years, is that he did not.
Probably not. I'm not completely sure because I haven't really had the time to go through the entire book. Yeah. I've received so many books on
Of course.
On interviewees. We have a we have a very, very tough audience that likes to participate, Vince, and we have Edward in Arkansas, and he's like, "Dear Mr. Bugliosi, what do you think the validity of the Warren Commission, since the people like Alan Dulles, who was fired as a CIA director by JFK, was appointed to be on the Warren Commission?"
Well, what's his point here now? Does he feel that Alan Dulles, who had a very good record at the CIA, but Kennedy got rid of him because, as you know, Kennedy was already on, there was a moving train going by and he jumped on. I'm talking about the Bay of Pigs thing. And he was assured by the CIA, and Dulles was a CIA director at the time, he was assured by the CIA that if there was a Bay of Pigs invasion, the Cuban people would rise up against Castro. They didn't do that at all. They liked Castro at the time. This was in, what, 1961? Castro took over in late 59, early 1960. They still liked him. Anyway, they did not rise up, and the anti-Castro Cuban exiles who were slaughtered on the beach at the Bay of Pigs, it was their belief that Kennedy was going to support them. He supported them to the extent that he went along with the continuing training of them, and also on the boats that brought them to the beach. But he said specifically and publicly that there would not be any active military involvement in the Bay of Pigs invasion. In any event, Kennedy was upset with Dulles and the CIA, and in a kind of in a diplomatic way, he allowed them to resign. May I add one thing? Again, it's a suggestion. To avoid some of these people, after they hear what I have to say about conspiracy, may not ask the question. If we start out with things coming in on conspiracy, we'll probably cover things that I would cover in a summary of why I believe there's no conspiracy. Just like the summary I gave you why I believe that Oswald is guilty, I can do that with conspiracy unless you just want me to answer questions on conspiracy. But they may be pretty far out, some of them, and we may waste a lot of time.
Well, you know, it's their show. They're asking the questions, Vince. All I do is relay them to you. To reply on to that one, Vince, this is my own question to you. Kennedy's State of the Union speech.
Yes.
Warning the American people about secret societies behind the scenes and, you know, people that are out of the court. And we know, we look at our country today and see what's going on and all these pushes to go to war and all the lies that have been coming to us from our government. It's hard for people to not feel and think the way they do, if you understand the point that I'm getting
to. No. I understand that. This loss of trust in the American government, I traced it back to Kennedy's assassination, by the way. At the time of the assassination, 76% of the American people had trust that the American government would do the right thing for them. There was a steady decline after the assassination because there was a substantial number of people, although the majority of people at the time accepted the findings of the Warren Commission, which came out with a report in 1964 that Oswald had killed Kennedy and acted alone. 55% accepted it. I think 36%, which is millions of people, did not accept it, and the others had no view. It reached a low point a couple decades ago of 19%. I think right now it's about 35%. But it all started with the Kennedy assassination because millions of people, even though originally in the minority, had this sense that the government was not leveling with them on the assassination, that they were concealing some of the facts from them. And then you couple that with the Iran-Contra affair and Watergate, and that's why many people don't believe that nothing happened in the Kennedy assassination that they should not know about. But here and there, somewhere down the line, you have to pay the piper. And if you're going to accuse the government of covering up, you have to come up with some solid, substantive evidence. I really think, Rock, that we should talk about... I'd hate to go through this whole show and not tell you why I don't believe there's a conspiracy, but if we continue with individual questions like that, that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, I guess you have to make a decision right now. Do you want to just ask questions, or do you want me to tell you why I believe there's no conspiracy?
Well, you can give us your belief on it, and then, you know, we have other questions pertaining to
other things. Oh, yeah, of course. But I'd hate to go through a whole hour show and not once have me give you why I believe there's no conspiracy in this case.
No, I concur with you, sir, and I believe that you should tell us.
Okay. I'll give you four points. Again, it's just a summary. In Reclaiming History, I set forth 32 separate points, reasons, pieces of evidence that point away from the existence of a conspiracy. Let's just talk about four of them right now.
Okay.
The Warren Commission and the House Select Committee on Assassination, after extremely extensive investigations, both concluded that there was no credible, let's underline the word credible, evidence that the CIA or mob or any other group was behind the assassination. All they found was unsupported allegations and naked speculation. Now, before I go any further, the House Select Committee came up with a conclusion of a conspiracy, not that any group or person was involved, but fourth bullet comes from the grassy knoll. I'll discuss that later if you want. It's been thoroughly, completely discredited to the point that even the mainstream conspiracy community never brings it up. But I wanted to add that footnote to what I just told you. Now, some people can write that off and say, well, the Warren Commission and the House Select Committee, what do they know? But, you know, the Warren Commission had 400 people working for them, and they worked on the investigation for almost a year. The House Select Committee on Assassinations had 250 people working for almost 3 years. And the conclusion they came to is that there was no credible evidence that any group, like the CIA mob or any other group like that, was behind the assassination. Now, I use the word credible. Let me give you an example of how non-credible the conspiracy community is. In the last 50 years, Rock, one or more conspiracy theorists collectively, at one time or another, have accused 42 groups, 82 assassins, and 214 people have been involved in the assassination. And like I told you earlier, three people can keep a secret, but only if two are dead, and not one word is leaked out, not one credible word as far as I'm concerned. And the reason is that there's nothing there. It's all nonsense. Well, let me give you the second reason. No evidence has ever been found showing that Oswald ever had any association of any kind with any of the groups believed by the conspiracy theorists to be behind the assassination. The FBI checked out every breath, I'm exaggerating, of course, every breath, certainly every day, that Oswald breathed. From the time he arrived back in the United States from the Soviet Union, that would have been, let's see, June 13th, 1962, up until the day of the assassination. And they couldn't find, and there were 25,000 interviews by the FBI, by the way, in the entire assassination inquiry. They couldn't find any evidence of any contact by Oswald with any of these groups in person, telephone, telegram, letter, carrier pigeon, or any other way. Let's look at the third reason. Let's assume that one of these groups decided to kill Kennedy. I think that that is a prodigiously unlikely assumption, but let's make the assumption that one of these groups decided to kill Kennedy. Oswald would have been one of the last people on the face of this earth whom they would have gotten to do their bidding for them. Not an expert shot. He was a good shot. He was a sharpshooter in the Marines. I was telling you about the way the conspiracy theorists distort the record. You read their books, they say he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But actually, he was a sharpshooter. He fired a 212. But he was not an expert. And if you're one of these groups, you're going to get an expert. You're not going to get a mere sharpshooter. Not an expert shot. Had a $12 mail order rifle. Notoriously unreliable. Extremely unstable. Here's a guy, Rock, that defects to the Soviet Union pre-Gorbachev. I mean, even today, who in the heck defects to Russia? He gets over there. He's desperate to become a Soviet citizen. They turn him down. What does he do? He slashes his wrists, tries to commit suicide. Just the type of guy that the CIA or mob would want to rely upon to commit the biggest murder in American history. Now, let me give you the final point out of 32. Let's assume again that one of these groups decided to kill Kennedy, and for whatever reason, they wanted Oswald to be their hitman. After Oswald shot Kennedy and left the book depository building, if the CIA or mob had Oswald kill Kennedy for them, I'll tell you what would have happened. I think we know what would have happened. There would have been a car waiting for Oswald. At a minimum, there would have been a car waiting for him to take him down to Mexico or Costa Rica. Certainly, the conspiracy theorists wouldn't want their hitman to be apprehended and interrogated by the authorities. That's the least likely scenario. The most likely scenario, Rock, is that there would have been a car waiting for him to drive him to his death. We know that would have happened, and yet we know that Oswald was out on the street with $13 in his pockets trying to flag down buses and cabs. I think that tells any thinking person that alone that Oswald acted alone. Because if he didn't act alone and the mob was involved, the CIA, he wouldn't have been out in the street trying to flag down buses and cabs. I mean, the motorcade that took the presidential limousine beneath Oswald's window on the sixth floor of the book depository building, that motorcade route was not determined because there was another site that the Secret Service actually was pushing. And they were overruled by the vice president, who wanted them to go to a place that was off the Stemmons Freeway, because that's where the business community met in Oswald, the trademark.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. When we come back, we need to... Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
This was not even determined until November the 18th, 1963, 4 days before the assassination. And the parade route was not made public until the following day, November 19th. Now, again, I ask you, would any rational person believe that a conspiracy to murder the President of the United States would be hatched within just 3 days of the assassination?
With that being said, I'm going to answer that when I come back. We have to take a quick break, Vince.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. We'll be right back with our guest, Vince Bugliosi.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit UNICEFUSA.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash with our host, Vince Bugliosi. Vince, leaving off where we left off earlier, I have a question for you pertaining to what you said, that there was a change in the route and everything else within the last 3 days. That makes me think...
Not a change in the route, no. It hadn't been determined until the 18th that there were two places being considered. One was the women's club at the fairgrounds on the other side of town, and the other was the trademark. They were going back and forth on it. There was no change. They only made one decision, and that's the trademark. But the Secret Service had recommended the women's club. But go ahead.
Well, with that being said, with the Secret Service, you know, closing off the area as they normally do, they go in a week prior, they close off everything, they check out the security on everything, and really a lot of the people don't know until probably the night before where the motorcade is going to run through. And security is so tight, how could it Lee Harvey Oswald have gotten a rifle in there? Or, you know, a rifle is not very cumbersome thing to carry around, and it can't be just brought in. With that being said, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Secret Service could have done a lot better job, but if you look at the history of the Secret Service, you know, the attempt by a Manson family member to kill Ford, and then there was another gal who almost gave them notice that she was going to do something to Ford. The attempt on Reagan's life, these people are not competent, although why, I don't know. But I have a section on the Secret Service, and I'm not going to elaborate on it now except to tell you that they obviously did not do a good job in protecting the president. However, you're saying about their cordoning off, things like that, that's when the president gives a speech. As far as going through town, I don't know anything about that. He was in Houston. There was a parade in Houston that very previous day. I don't know anything about cordoning people off. What they do very frequently, of course, they put the president in a limousine with the top up. Kennedy did not want the top to be up. But you're saying, how did Oswald get in there? That would suggest that there'd be Secret Service agents outside the entry of every building along the way. They didn't even have that type of force. There were 17 of them in Dallas at the time. So how did he get the thing into the building? Well, he wrapped it up in a big bag and put it in the back seat of a car, and the car was driven to the book depository building by a fellow worker, and he lied to the fellow worker by saying that there were curtain rods inside the bag. But how he got it into the building without the Secret Service knowing...
Well, not just the Secret Service, the local police also. They have things staked out.
Yeah, they should have covered the buildings more than they did. And let me tell you, there were some drastic changes in Secret Service policy following the Kennedy assassination. Well, before we go back, I just want to mention one thing, because it was one of the first questions you asked about these groups covering up. Do you realize, John, that number one, the people that were on the Warren Commission, the seven, almost impeccable records. We have a guy like Chief Justice Earl Warren. He was so respected in California that when he ran for re-election, he got the nomination not only of the Republican Party, he was Republican, but of the Democratic Party. You got people like that, a Chief Justice. You got Gerald Ford, of course, a representative, John McCloy, I think he was the president of the World Bank. Now, if they were to do something like this, which is just an incredibly almost evil thing to do, to conceal the truth from the American people, do you realize, Rock, that they'd be committing a crime called accessory after the fact to murder? Do you think these people in the later stages of their life would want to do something that would destroy their legacy and destroy the reputation that they had and convey that down to their ancestors for centuries to come? Why would they want to do something like that? Some people say the mob was behind it. Okay, so the Warren Commission is trying to cover up for the mob? I mean, when does the silliness end? I'm sorry, I just wanted to get that one point in, that when you say they're covering up, you're saying they're guilty of a felony called accessory after the fact to murder.
Right, I know. We would think that nobody would want to do that, but of course, right. In the overall picture, money and greed seems to be the cause of and the root of all evil. So, with that being said, let's move on. I've got a caller on line one, Fred from Chicago. Are you there?
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Mr. Bugliosi, I can't believe that you're defending the Warren Commission and the magic bullet theory tonight. But regardless, my question is about JFK's executive order 111, 1-0, which gave the Secretary of the Treasury the power to issue currency independent of the private Federal Reserve System. Now, considering the fact that Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Jackson were both shot after advocating similar policies, what role do you think that this executive order could have played in JFK's assassination?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I don't even know if it's accurate. It probably is accurate, but you're drawing an umbilical cord between that and the fact that he was killed?
Well,
that's what you're claiming?
He has been issuing our currency since 1913.
Okay, well, I can't elaborate on that. I have no idea, but you feel that he and Lincoln were killed for the same reason, right?
I'm just saying that Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Jackson both took on the private central bankers, as did JFK, and all three of them were shot.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe you should write a book about that. You mentioned the magic bullet. I want to tell you a little story, and I'd like to get into the magic bullet if we have time. I want to tell you a little story, and then I'm going to ask you. Who's the fellow calling me now?
What's Freddy.
Name? Fred.
Fred? Okay. Fred, I was speaking... quite a few years ago. It was at the time that the fantasy movie JFK came out, and I never make a charge without support, and if you want to know why it's a fantasy movie and we have time, I'll tell you why. In any event, I was speaking to 500 lawyers, and not on the Kennedy case, on tactics and techniques in the trial of a criminal case, but during the Q&A period, I started getting questions on the Kennedy assassination, and I could tell they were rhetorical, they believed in a conspiracy. So I said to them, what if I could prove to you in less than 1 minute that although you're all intelligent, that you're not thinking intelligently? And there was kind of a murmur in the crowd. And one of the people said, I don't think you can do it. I said, all right, check your watches. Before I did this, it may have been as a part of the minute, I said, do you agree that before you form an intelligent opinion on a matter in dispute, that you should hear both sides of the story? And they agreed on that. In any event, when the clock was ticking, I said, how many of you saw the recent Oliver Stone movie or at any time in the past read any conspiracy book or any essay on conspiracy, propounding the conspiracy theory? It looked like, I don't know, 95% of the audience raised their hand. And I said, now with that in mind, how many of you have read the Warren Report? And it was embarrassing. About 4, 5, 6 people raised their hand. And I ask you, Fred, have you read the Warren Report?
Well, Alan Dulles was fired by JFK, and then he was appointed to the Warren Commission.
Yeah, but I asked you a question. Did you read the Warren Report, Fred?
You think that was a conflict of interest, too.
Did you read the Warren Report, Fred?
No,
okay,
I haven't
read
it.
Fred obviously never read it. I want to read to you a couple things. I'll read to you because if coming from a conspiracy theorist, it means more than coming from me. You probably heard of Vincent Palomar, and it's good that I'm bringing him up because he's a Secret Service expert, wrote a book implying that maybe the Secret Service was involved. Here's what he said. Maybe this will give me a little credibility because I apparently don't have much credibility with you, Fred.
Alan Dulles sure doesn't.
Okay. Vince Pugliosi's, Vince Palomar's review. Vince Pugliosi's masterful Reclaiming History is a devastating knockout blow to those who, like me, once believed there was a conspiracy in the death of JFK. Pugliosi finishes and completes in exhaustive and impressive detail the work of the Warren Commission, the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and quite frankly, all the other writers who have ever delved into the crime of the 20th century. It is time to get a life, America. Oswald did indeed kill Kennedy, acting alone. Vince Pugliosi has done what I once thought was the impossible. He has convinced me of this notion. The conspiracy community was able to survive the Warren Commission report as well as the report of the House Select Committee on Assassinations. The question is whether it will be able to survive Pugliosi's Reclaiming History. Now, the majority of conspiracy theorists have not read the book. I was getting ranked number 1 out of 5 on Amazon.com, when the book had just come out. It takes a whole summer to read the book. They hadn't read the book, and they were saying it's a terrible book. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But many conspiracy theorists, the vast majority, are not accepting what I'm saying, of course. You could have a picture of Oswald at the window, and they'd claim it was a lookalike. But here's another one, Dr. David Mantic, one of the leading conspiracy people. He still believes in a conspiracy, but he says it is likely that reclaiming history will stand forever as the magnum opus of this case. It is a masterpiece. Fred, you got to read more than just the conspiracy stuff. If you want me to talk about the magic bullet, I will. It'll take a couple minutes, but I can show you that only you
support the appointment to the commission.
I'm sorry?
Do you support the appointment of Alan Dulles to the Warren Commission?
He had a pretty good record before he gave Kennedy misinformation on how the people of Cuba would react to the Bay of Pigs investigation. I may have stayed away from him because of the CIA. The CIA, as opposed to the FBI, does not have the best reputation. Too many times it has come too very close for my comfort to violate the law, so I would not have chosen anyone from the CIA. But are you suggesting that maybe the CIA is behind the assassination?
Well, I just know on commissions, like they appointed Henry Kissinger to lead the 9/11 commission, Max Cleland resigned, Henry Kissinger had to resign, and I think when Alan Dulles was fired by JFK, that throws into suspicion that the validity of the actual Warren Commission.
How about the other six? How do you get the other six to go along with this monstrous, monstrous lie that could end up having them lose their legacy and end up behind bars? How do you justify those six? What's your answer to that?
Well, a carpet of bombs or a carpet of gold they offer people. Economic hitmen do bribes and threats all the time over the country. I don't see why they couldn't
Is this Fred? Is this still Fred?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you have any evidence of this, Fred, or is this just your imagination that it may have happened?
Do you support Henry Kissinger to lead the 9/11 Commission?
Okay, Fred, all I can tell you is that I'm a person who my orientation is factual as a prosecutor and as a writer of true crime books, and I'm talking with someone like yourself who's undoubtedly an intelligent person, but you're just speculating wildly, Fred, wildly. I'd like to talk about the magic bullet.
Kissinger did, in fact,
have
clients by the name of Bin Laden. That's a fact.
Okay.
I don't.
The only group that has a magic bullet, and I think I can prove to you. In fact, I have a national interview coming up, and there'll be graphics and photographs, which will help me make my point. The only group that had a magic bullet was the conspiracy community, not the Warren Commission, and I can. If you want me to take a couple minutes and talk about that, or else you can ask me. Rock, you haven't asked me a question for a while.
Well, I'd like to move on. I've got another person on the line 3, Philip in Washington. Philip?
Yes, hi, Rock. Great to hear you. Hi, Mr. Bigliosi, how are you?
Yeah, hi, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. Mr. Bigliosi, I've written several points down, and I just want you to sort of try and follow where I'm going. You wrote a book and presented your initial arguments for prosecuting the lies we were sold on in Iraq.
Right.
You wanted to prosecute the Bush administration. So they lied about Saddam. Now, this is not my first question. It's just in through my to get to my question. Why would they not lie about 9/11 also? So when there is conflicting evidence, it's quite vast.
Okay.
Now, I have a just very
quick
question to ask you.
May I stop you at this point? You're
comparing
apples with oranges. When you talk about the Warren Commission or the House Select Committee and say they covered up, they're not the ones that killed Kennedy. They're allegedly, the conspiracy community believes, are the ones who covered up.
I'm not even interested
when you talk about the Iraq War, the perpetrator, in my mind, was George Bush and his associates, okay? They are the ones. They didn't cover up. Well, they covered up later, but they are the ones who committed the crime that I allege that they committed. Number two, I offered concrete documentary evidence that points directly towards their taking the nation to war and a lie. I offered evidence. I didn't just make the allegation.
Mr. Bugliosi, I haven't even brought up the Warren Commission. I'm talking about your recent,
book.
I guess, appearance in front of the committee about prosecuting Bush for war crimes.
Not war crimes. No. That's international court. No, in an American courtroom.
May I continue?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. So, be patient. You're a prosecutor of enormous mind and depth. So I would ask that you follow my reasoning here. Okay.
Okay.
Now, first of all, are you aware that Kissinger was appointed initially to lead the 9/11 investigation? The families then asked him one question: if he had bin Laden clients, and he said he did, and they deferred to Philip Zelikow. Are you aware of this, first of all? And I'm going to get to my question.
No, I'm not. I've been asked by quite a few people.
You were not aware of that.
On 9/11, but I'm not aware of what you said.
Really? Well, okay, I'll move forward here. So,
okay.
As a strategist in the courtroom, you have to find the evidence to hold at least the pawns accountable so that the knights and the bishops, the kings and queens, it is a game of chess.
Right.
And you have to eliminate the pawns, right, to at least get close to a winning game.
Right.
Now, I heard what you said about going after the Bush administration, and I put it to you, the technical team that was the pawn who had crossed the legal line, if not the competence line, has committed a crime here. Now, as you know, as a strategist, you'd have to shake a few branches to get some things to fall out. Would you be interested? Here's my question. Would you be interested in prosecuting the pawns that the Bush administration appointed to cover this up? Because we have the forensic and scientific evidence, and you know, I want to see if you're interested in what you say. Are you interested
in
altering the world and the history?
Okay, I'll be candid with you. I don't want to go after the driver of the getaway car. Okay, I want to go against the armed robber. My only interest, my time is limited, is to go after Bush, Cheney, and Rice. I think those three are responsible for taking the nation to war and a lie. And I don't just make charges like that. If there's one thing about me, I never, ever, ever make a charge without supporting it. You might not agree with me, but I offer support. And if you read that book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, I offer a lot of evidence to support my inference that they knowingly took the nation to war and a lie. It's in the book.
Well, I trust you in what you say here. But you know, as an investigator, you know, CIA, FBI investigators have all said, look, for example, you don't let the bin Ladens fly out of the country. You get them on record. You do the interview.
I agree.
I'm surprised that you...
But I'm just saying,
my time
is limited. I don't want to go after the driver of the getaway car. That's just a metaphor I'm using. I want to go after the people responsible for that war. There's 4,500 American soldiers in their graves because of it. Arguably, many people say over 1 million innocent Iraqi men, women, and children that are in their graves right now. And I just read recently that Bush has got an approval rating of 49%, which is unbelievable. As far as I'm concerned, he's a despicable human being, and I want him behind bars.
All right.
I'm surprised you didn't jump onto the legal team with April Gallup, who was going after Dick Cheney and company for knowing the airplane was going to slam in the Pentagon. That would have been a home run for you, Mr. Bugliosi.
No, I can't devote years of my life or stuff like that to something like that.
Okay, John.
I'm not saying I'm in favor of what they did. I'm just telling you, you want me to give a commitment to dropping everything that I'm doing now and get involved in that, what they're doing. By the way, what they're doing, I'm almost positive, is a civil lawsuit. And I'm not interested in civil lawsuits. All you get out of a civil lawsuit is money damages. I'm interested in prosecuting crimes, okay? You're talking about a civil lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I need to interject, gentlemen.
I'm talking about it.
Philip, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are very, very limited on time. I've had a lot of questions, but unfortunately, I can't get to them tonight. Vince, we need to have you back again. to work on your other book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush, and also the movie documentary that we're hoping will be out in a due process. And you know, once again, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, we're just about going to get a distributor on that. So there'll be a documentary on the Bush thing. Right now, talking about the screen, there's a big movie screen. On the big screen right now is a book called Parkland. It's Parkland Hospital.
I was about to mention that.
Yeah, Tom Hanks produced it, and it's based on my book, but not the whole book, just, you know, the all the events leading up to the president going to Parkland Hospital and dying. It's called Parkland. 4 Days in November is the same book with a different cover on it. Those books are a little easier to read than Reclaiming History. Reclaiming History takes an entire summer.
Okay, that's great. And Vince, I'd like to thank you again. I'd like to talk to you for a minute as soon as we're done here.
Okay, and I appreciate it, Rock. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you very much for being here, sir. And I'd like to remind everybody to be here with us next week as we have former Ambassador Edward Peck, who coined the term chickens coming home to roost. On the BBS Radio
on
Network.
On the bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief of us, as summer people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.